better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Aaron already texted in the conversation. He says, good morning, fellas. It's more fun winning on the road. Now, I have not been to a lot of road games, particularly road SEC games, but I will say one of the greatest feelings I've ever had is watching the Arkansas Razorbacks beat those son-of-you-know-what Ole Miss Rebels in Oxford back in 2015. It was really funny. So I'm a student at the time. I'm a student media member. So as a media member, if you don't know, you're supposed to be unbiased and not cheer, not clap and stuff. Well, the good thing is I don't qualify as a journalist. I went to Arkansas, grew up an Arkansas fan. I'm not going to lie to you and say that them winning doesn't make me feel good. There are some journalists in the state. There are some people in the state that either grew up Razorback fans, grew up talking about the Razorbacks or whatever, and they all of a sudden tell you, oh, I don't care if they want to lose. Let's just be honest. That's just a plain lie. Now, there are some that say that it has impacted me, but I still am do my best to be objective as possible, which is what I try to be. You hear me talk negative from time to time about this football team, basketball team, and baseball team. But I'm sitting next to several Arkansas media members, and when Brandon Allen punches in that two-point conversion, again, these are supposed to be unbiased, unfiltered media member, they just start jumping up and down, fist bumping and stuff. And I'm just, again, I'm trying to follow the rules, Tommy, so I'm just sitting there stoic and just like stunned at what I've just seen. But that particular moment will be one of the best moments of my entire life because I'm staying with my Ole Miss friend that weekend in Oxford. And I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Every single Ole Miss fan and friend that he introduced me to after the game, their initial words were bleep you. And then it was cordial and stuff after. But hey, this is my friend Ty. He's from Arkansas. And it was bleep you.
That's when you know you got him.
So to me, and I don't know how you feel on this, so I'll get your thoughts on this. To me, winning on the road in a rivalry game, in a heated football game, in a game that goes down to the wire, slightly edges out the home field.
I totally agree with that, particularly in a game like the Henry Heave, where you win and you just pull one out of your rear. I mean, you win in such dramatic fashion that you robbed your rival, rob the home team. And I don't know. I mean, we like to think of Ole Miss as a rival. We like to think of a lot of people as rivals. But that's a team you enjoy beating just because of their attitude at Ole Miss. Particularly in baseball, you enjoy beating Ole Miss. So if you can win in that fashion, it's great. I was at Tennessee in 2015 when Arkansas went to Knoxville, found themselves down 14, and stormed back to win that football game. That was a game where, you'll remember, Tennessee ran the opening kickoff back. I mean, before the popcorn got hot, Arkansas was down 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, oh my goodness, it had been raining all day. It was kind of a nasty, wet, soupy day. You know, this is going to be ugly, the way the game started. And then Arkansas, I mean, in Tennessee, the stadium was rocking. Tennessee thought they had the game won. They thought it was over. And I don't blame them. And Arkansas just stole their lunch money the rest of the way. That felt good to go in. Not that Tennessee was one of the proud, great places or programs of the SEC.
It's not 90s Tennessee.
But I'm going to tell you, you go to Neyland Stadium, and there wasn't 100,000 there that day, but there was still quite a crowd.
Yeah.
It was still something to go win at Neyland Stadium. So walking out of that stadium, I remember walking down that ramp. I mean, it's a steep, long ramp exiting that stadium. It was very steep coming in. It felt a lot better going out, coming out the victor. So, it feels good to go on the road and come out the winner.
Most people have already brought up the LSU win in 2007. I don't know. I can't remember. There's been several people that have texted in. Aaron mentions that as well, going to that game. I was not in attendance for that game, though I love to be. Then you go back all the way, I mean, 50-something years before, beating Texas in Austin, 64, number one team in the country. I know that we don't have a ton of listeners that are listening right now that were in attendance for that game, but that would be a game that has to stand out too. Anytime you can beat a big-time opponent on the road, especially if you're surrounded with some of your friends, with some of your family, like you don't want to be solo there because there's a chance you could get beat up. Like if you're in Baton Rouge and you're celebrating.
You got to be careful in Baton Rouge.
You got to be very careful. I think Clay told us he got a whiskey bottle thrown at him.
Yeah, he probably deserved it.
So, I mean.
No, you got to be careful. You got to be careful about just what colors you wear in Baton Rouge, particularly for a night game.
And listen, my stepmom grew up in Alabama, in Huntsville, Alabama. My grandmother grew up in Huntsville as well. So they're Alabama fans. And I felt really bad when they went to a game this, I guess they played Alabama on the, when did they play out? Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago at home. And there apparently were sitting by some Arkansas fans that were just dog cussing them the entire game. And I felt bad, obviously. I'm just like,
Representing our state well.
Yeah, that's not the best idea. And again, that doesn't represent the entire embodiment of this fan base and in this program. But like, I know sometimes like you get so frustrated, so irritated. And I know that like, listen, if there's a Texas A&M fan that's egging me on, and I'm sitting next to him, there's a chance I could sock him in the face. But do your best when it comes to opposing fans when they come into Donald W. to just be respectful. You don't have to like them. You don't have to get along. But just don't dog cuss them the whole game.
There's a visitor section, though. They should be sitting with the visitors.
That's a good point. So that's a great point. You want to stay away that possible.
This needs to be like the movie Blues Brothers. We need the chicken wire up, you know? So if you're throwing beer bottles, it's hitting the chicken wire.
Are you? I've told Jenkins this, and he was pretty dumbfounded when he heard this. I have not seen that movie with Mr.
You didn't
John
see Blues
Belushi,
Brothers,
Mr. John Belushi. I have not seen that. So
we'll give you some Morning Rush homework to watch that.
I need to.
Scott texted in with a couple of good ones. The win at TCU when blocked the field goal and beat him in overtime.
Most underrated week in 2016.
And the 0-2 win at Austin against Texas. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. I was there at the Cotton Bowl in 2000, January 1, 2000, when you beat Texas. Clint Sterner, quarterback, Nutt led the band from the...
You hear that? You hear that?
Great. Those are a couple good. That wasn't really a road win at the Cotton Bowl, but it kind of was playing in Dallas against Texas.
Yeah, so Texas Bowl would have been.
I wasn't there for the 06 Auburn win, but that was a good one too.
A lot of good ones, a lot of good road wins. I think it's consensus, at least for me and Tommy, take the road wins over the home wins.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
It's all at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge at 906 Garrison, downtown Fort Smith.
Still waiting. Apparently, you told me and Jenkins that we'd be going there one night.
I got to set that up with Buddy. We got to go down. Buddy's wanting us to try some stuff on the menu. He said, you got any guys down there that like to eat? I said, I got one or two.
Just one or two. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Jenkins and I can handle that.
I was down there last week. It's just a cool, comfortable place to hang out at 906.
Oh, good spot. Good spot for
and
sure.
And I like it because if you're meeting with buddies or a client or something, the music and the atmosphere is not so overpowering, so loud that you can't have conversation.
Because
when you're like me and you got kids at home and you go out and you want to talk to other adults, you want to have conversation with adults.
So, I mean, you don't like the club vibe? You like the chill vibe?
Right. You can't hear. I don't want to go somewhere with, I mean, there's nothing wrong with local. I want subtle music in the background. That's what they got at 906.
Not blaring music. No, right. I get that for sure. That's
you can have a conversation.
That's our Thursday night spot. So, and I literally, as I say that, my friend Tim McGuire, who I venture with on Thursday, just text me. So, speaking of, or going back to our conversation yesterday, we had Tony Boo on, former Arkansas Razorbacks, one of the baddest men ever to put an Arkansas uniform on. And if you haven't listened to that interview, you got to tune in. It's on hitthatline.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. And I thought two of the things he said were fantastic. He talked about the mentality of being an Arkansas football player, what it means to not just that little county in Washington County, but the entire state. Here's what he had to say.
I do feel like the previous coaches, they didn't get Arkansas. You know, Arkansas is built on blue-collar people that live in small towns that really work every day of their lives, and they give whatever it takes in order to live the lifestyle that they're living. When you save up all year to get a ticket to go watch the Razorbacks, I think that the players need to understand, hey, whether we're winning or whether we're losing, there are people in this stadium that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at their team that they love, that they watch, that they're all there is. And this is a big deal. It doesn't matter if you're down 14, 21, or if you're up 14, or if you're up 21. You play this play like it's your last play.
Now, I mean, stick that in my veins right now. Like,
I hope it gets back to that. But let's be honest, it's not like tickets aren't readily available right now.
That is true.
Now, when Tony played,
play along though. Come on, man.
When Tony played, maybe it's a little more difficult to get into the stadium, a little more costly. But let's be honest, if you look at some of the nearby trees at the stadium, there may be some tickets thumbtacked to a tree. So getting into the stadium, I don't think anyone's saving all year to get into a game right now, all right? So I hear what he's saying. I hope it gets back to what he's saying.
So I remember, this relates to me, obviously, when War Memorial Stadium, me being a Little Rock kid, used to host just two games a year. Those were the games that I look forward to the most, obviously, because I was in attendance. Now I watch the other games on TV, the sparing TV that they get on CBS, or the JP Pilot, if I could say it, Jefferson Pilot Sports or whatever. But from that perspective, when I got, there was only a handful of games I got to watch in person.
Yeah, there was only two games a week that were on TV in the league.
Exactly.
The CBS game, as you mentioned, and you know, it used to be a prize to be at 11 a.m. on Jefferson Pilot. Because you were on TV.
Exactly.
Other than that, you might sneak in a pay-per-view once a year. Other than that, you were listening to Paul on the radio.
Or, what was it, CSS, Cox Sports Television?
Occasionally. Yeah. That came along later on. But yeah.
The Razorback. It was funny. You remember Jimmy Dykes occasionally would color commentate? As a color analyst. Yeah. I thought that was funny. But that's, listen, and again, like Tommy said, you don't have to be hard-pressed to get a ticket right now because the team's hasn't been that good. But the idea, the mentality, what he's talking about, that logo means so much to you all listening right now. You can strike up a conversation with someone in the grocery store, in the salon, about anything. If you're wearing a Razorback shirt and you're wearing a Razorback shirt, hey son, you think the team's gonna be good this year? No, I think they're gonna be 4-8. I mean, that's just a conversation. Like, there's when I go to I haven't been lately, but like before, pre-COVID, when I would go with a bar, the first conversation I would strike up with just some random stranger, random dude, if they were wearing an SEC something, football team, basketball team, whatever, first thing I talk about is sports. That's just my first instinct as a sports radio host, as a guy growing up. And it's even easier inside the state because generally you see guys, gals wearing Arkansas stuff.
Well, you go to the coffee shop, the barber shop, the watering hole. Eventually you hang around long enough, that's where the conversation gravitates to.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the tie that binds our state. That's been said over and over again about what the Razorbacks mean to everyone in this state. But I promise you, you listen in at your lunch spot today, you know, particularly when things were normal and tables were full and people were having normal lunch conversations. In a normal year, that's exactly what it always winds back to. Well, how you think the football team's going to do? Or, hey, did you read what Clay had to say this morning or years ago? Hey, did you see what Orville wrote today about the Hogs? You know, that's,
hear what the morning moron said this morning.
Yeah, did you hear what that guy with that mullet haircut down there said this morning? Tommy had to slap him down and correct him. Did you hear that? Yeah. You know, so that's it. But that's because, you know why? Because it's important. You don't, if you don't care, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't mean anything to you, it's just another thing on the list today.
Yeah.
But it's at the top of the list because the Razorbacks matter to the people of this state.
No, exactly right. And so when you hear that from Tony Bua, what you're hoping is that gets to the players, because there's been zero pride in Arkansas football from the players' perspective the last 3 years. That's not to say they weren't giving their best or giving their, but there has to be an extra oomph. Like, there has to be an extra energy. And you heard that from Tony Bua. You've heard that from Drew Morgan. You've heard that from Ryan Mallett. Like, these guys, and like, pick a player on a successful team. You've heard that from them. That has to be, you can't just show up to work as an Arkansas football player. You have to put in the extra effort. We always point back to Brandon Burlesworth. I watched a little bit of Grader last night. That has to be the entire mentality of not just the talented players on this team, but the ones that obviously, at least perception-wise, have no business playing college football. So you hear that, and you're talking about obviously the stuff going on, like the coronavirus, like this. People still are 100% focused on Arkansas football. Now, there's a debate, oh, it's going to happen or not, whatever. You and I are under the impression that it's probably college football is probably still going to occur. But like you said, if you go into a coffee shop, if you go into a hair salon, if you go into a restaurant, a bar, pick a place, one of the topics in that place is going to be about an Arkansas sport. Now, it might be basketball, it might be football, it might be baseball. You cannot,
depend on the time of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You cannot walk in to a crowded place or a semi-crowded place or whatever the measure is right now, 50% or whatever the capacity is right now, without hearing one conversation about an Arkansas Razorback sport. That's just how it is. And so what he also talked about, and I'll play this clip coming up, is you have these lesser talented Arkansas kids, and I don't know how many times Tommy, Clay, and I have said these particular words, that these kids that grew up in the state that were Razorbacks through and through and through, but weren't that talented, weren't that highly recruited, weren't going to play anywhere else, when they get mixed with more talented kids outside of the state, that's a good blend. And it bodes well for Arkansas football.
You know, because we've got a lot of people that come in from outside. They come in from the big city. It's funny to me, even when I was there, you'll watch a guy like myself, not highly recruited, but I wasn't from Arkansas. But the guys that were from Arkansas that were three stars, and then they bring in a guy, you know, that's slated to go ahead of them, that's like a four or five star. Man, that three star athlete will push that five star kid past his limits that he even knew he had, just because of the love that he has for the University of Arkansas and the Razorback. I think that we've missed some of that in the past. I think that we brought in professionals who were just that. They were professionals. They didn't have that Arkansas blood in them.
So I saw Jashad Stewart, the incoming freshman out of Jonesboro High School, is going to play DN or linebacker in college. He interacted with the tweet I put out yesterday with Tony Bua's comments, and I think that's important because what you just heard from Tony Bua talking about the lesser guys as far as talent perspective, or the guys that are on the roster now that he hopes they play with that type of fire. Again, you haven't seen that the past couple years, and you could tell in Tony's voice and the other players we got on, they're not necessarily angry, but they're disappointed with how these football teams have been. And you can't be. Again, I've talked about this with you before. You've established a great program here on the Morning Rush. If I was to come in and burn it all down, you would be pissed at me. Like, and I understand that because you spend a lot of hard work, time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, tears, and on and on and on getting this to where it's going to be. So again, if I were to come in and burn it all and rip it all down and just rip it all up, then you would genuinely be angry with good reason. So again, these players that are currently on the roster, don't be the ones to tick off the former players who invested so much in this program. Be the change. Be the start of this year. Be the ones that can change this program around. Be the ones that fans point to and say, you know what? It was this class in 2020. It was this group in 2020 that got things rolling again. Be that class. Don't be the ones that slouch off like Bielema's did. Don't be the ones that didn't do anything like Morris's did. Be the ones that start the change within Arkansas football so you can get back to not getting laughed at by your SEC brethren.
Be the spark, because that's what it's going to take. Is somebody's got to spark the fire to get this thing going. I mean, it's not going to start out as a lightning bolt, we don't believe, like it did in 98. That wasn't really a spark. That was a lightning bolt that just took off like a wildfire.
And we're not asking for that. We're just asking for a spark.
We need to get a little bitty campfire going here that maybe we can build into a bonfire. You know, we understand and expect it's a process, but the process hasn't worked for several years now. And the last two, if we hope, we keep saying, well, it can't get any worse. And we find out it gets worse. You know, statistically, it can't get much worse. So we're hoping that you've at least found bottom and you think you've made improvements. While they weren't necessarily your first choices, you've made improvements in the program. And I think in hindsight, we think, you know, the staff that's assembled, the coordinators you've hired, the players you've been able to recruit, the transfer players like a Felipe Franks that's come in, a Xavier Kelly. Hey, these pieces, and you start putting, now you've got the outside edges and the corners to the puzzle, you're starting to like a little bit of what's coming into focus. Now, some of that's just fan optimism that's taking over. You have no choice. I mean, you can just be negative about it, and the glass is half empty and cracked and not like anything, but the fan within all of us is wanting to see the picture coming into focus as positive. And yeah, Sam Pittman, I mean, let's be honest, he wasn't your first choice as your head coaching hire, but when has Arkansas really hired their first choice, the first name you heard? Not very often in any sport do you go get the first guy you wanted.
Now, the late Frank Broyles would always say this was our first, sure. But that was his, that was how he went about it, which again, it's okay because you don't want to, you don't want to tell the fan base, you don't want to get perception to the media saying this was our second or third or fourth.
It's after we struck out four other times, here's the guy, you know, here's John Pelfrey, you know, that's kind of, but sometimes, you know, what's the old Garth song? Sometimes you thank God for unanswered prayers. Sometimes, you know, would you trade right now for Lane Kiffin? Would you trade right now knowing everything you know with Barry Odom here, with Kendall Briles here, with Felipe Franks here? Would you trade for one of the coaches in the state of Mississippi with the situation you got? I don't think most of the fans would.
I think from an entertainment standpoint, have Mike Leach as sports radio host.
Maybe for our show content, we would.
Personal, but no, as a...
Maybe if we're rooting for the show, we would. But no. I don't think most of our fans would trade for either of those situations.
And here's the thing about that. One of the biggest reasons you say that is because, from all intents and purposes, Sam Pittman voices that he wants to be here. And as an Arkansan, you resonate with that. You love that because you want whoever your head coach is, whether it's Muss, whether it's DVH, whether it's Pitt, you want them to want to be here. Chad Morris, from all intents and purposes, did not seem like he wanted to be here. That is a very vital aspect of the coaching-fan relationship. I mean, remember Bo Pelini at Nebraska? He was moaning about the fan base. And I think he came off like an 8 or 9 win season. Maybe I'm off a few wins off that. And they let him go just because there was a...
Nebraska's done it a couple of times.
Yeah, a rift between the fan base and him. Yeah. So it's very important, especially in the good old Southern Arkansas boy state, that you get along and have some Southern hospitality with this fan base. And
you got to connect.
It's not...
On a personal level.
But here's the thing. You can also be like Bobby Petrino and be a Jack you-know-what. But you know what surpasses that? Surpasses kindness, surprises niceness, is winning. So if you can do both, which again you hope Sam Pittman can do, that's huge. But back to the conversation you brought up with the idea of Sam Pittman or Kiff or Mike Leach, like who would you want in this situation? What Sam Pittman has done, whether it's the dealing with the protests, whether it's talking with players about Juneteenth, whether it's talking about just how they go about recruiting, it's the recruiting process as a whole, them jumping all the way from 117th to 29th. Like, he is not only somewhat convinced the players in that locker room, because they're not all the way convinced. Who would be? You're coming off back-to-back 2-10 seasons. There's not a lot of good morale in there, so you can't be 100% on board with this guy just yet, but it seems like they're inching in that direction. He's also, it looks like, helping some of the college football people who are initially like, Arkansas hired an offensive line coach, and then they see some of the stuff they've done in recruiting, in relationships with players, and on and on and on. Former players come out and say this about him. And they're not buying in just yet, but they're starting to say...
Warming up.
Maybe, and that's the key, warming up. It's just like, what we were talking about with the spark and the lightning bolt. Mm-hmm. You don't need a lightning bolt of college football analysts that say, best hire of the offseason, Sam Pittman, blah, 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 blah. Because you honestly had that with Chad Morris. You know how high Chad Morris was on a bunch of different college football hiring lists? It's like, this guy's going to do great things at Arkansas. Didn't happen. All you have to have, again, as you mentioned, not only is a spark with this upcoming season, which I think is 4 games, but a spark within just the generality of the fan base, the players, the college football media, buying in that this guy can actually get Arkansas back on its feet where they're not laughed at continuously every single week in the Southeastern Conference.
Yep, and you just hope that the years of experience in college football and the staff assembled with a Barry Odom and guys that have decades of experience around Sam can can guide them through these first couple of years and make the right decisions. Head coaches have to make dozens of decisions on a daily basis about their program. Half a dozen of those decisions are really important. That's what they always say about the job of a head coach. Hopefully Sam gets a lot of those right, and it sets the program on the right path.
Yeah. And then
I think he's got good advisors around him because he hired the right people.
That's the key. So the reason this radio show is so successful and this station is so successful is you as a general manager. You got good people around you, dog. Just not the host sitting next to you.
He's all right.
Other people.
He's okay, too.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to the phone lines, welcoming in Corey Evans, basketball analyst at Rivals this morning. Corey, thanks for making some time for us on the Morning Rush, man.
No, most definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So you've talked about how David Patrick, godfather Ben Simmons, already got a bunch of connections here in the U.S. and in Australia. They've actually already offered a kid out of Australia, the Arkansas Razorbacks. What is he going to bring to the Arkansas basketball program?
Yeah, just that alone. I mean, he has a great background and knowledge and the networking base in Australia. You know, with the primary recruiter for Patty Mills and Dellavedova at St. Mary's, and then Ben Simmons and Quad Noy at LSU. So all around, I mean, his extensive network and even running his own program at UC Riverside, I think it's a giant pickup for Eric Musselman in Arkansas basketball.
Corey, you mentioned Dellavedova, NBA champion, Patty Mills, NBA champion with the Spurs. I know a lot of Eric Musselman's pull with these high school kids is, hey, look at my NBA background. Look at the connections I have here. Look at the connections I have here. How important is that going to be when Coach Patrick's going to be recruiting these kids, say, hey, look at what I've been able to do with some of the kids in my past?
I'm not sure if it's surpassed winning a national title, but it's right out there. It's about how can you help me achieve my dreams, and that's the NBA. And when you have someone like Dave Patrick, who's been around the block a few times with LSU and even St. Mary's, and him sharing a prior background at LSU with Musselman, and you know Musselman's pedigree at Nevada, and also coaching in the NBA in the D League, there's definitely credible, tangible, physical background there. That hey, these guys that can help get to me where I want to be. That's the NBA.
Give us some more background on their relationship. A little surprised they got a little bit of difference in age. Coach Patrick's 44. Muss is, I think, 56 now. They got the tie at LSU. Give us a little more insight, or what do you know about their paths crossing other than at LSU in the West Coast?
Yeah, definitely Australia. I mean, they share a connection over in Australia, and Dave Patrick's actually one of the men responsible for the hiring of Musselman at LSU with Johnny Jones when those guys shared a coaching staff together. For a year or two there in Baton Rouge. It's pretty funny how it all works around when, you know, now Musselman's the one hiring David Patrick away from Riverside. So it's just funny how it works, but, you know, whatever it might be, it's a tremendous pull for Musselman.
Corey, were you surprised at all the amount of money that Coach Patrick was given to be an assistant, considering, you know, just the environment we're in with coronavirus and the financial uncertainty of the future college athletics? $400,000 a year. If he stays 2 years, he gets $1 million. That's a pretty good price tag for an assistant coach.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to pull someone like David Patrick, who's a sitting head coach, unless it's the right money is there. And also, of course, the proper infrastructure that Arkansas can offer, which they offer both. That was monumental in having David walk away from running his own basketball program, which is something that for most in the business, they get in the business to run their own program. So to have someone walk away from doing that and being their own boss, it's going to take some money. But, you know, kudos to Musselman, you know, to get that money and that monetary amount to pull him away, because, like I said, it's a major, major coup, because just his name, and to have a guy like that on the market that wasn't really available, that most assumed, it's big.
Corey, I want to get in some recruiting questions with you. A couple players that Arkansas is after. Damian Collins got a chance to watch him play. Big man can do a couple different things. What are your thoughts about Arkansas's chances landing Damian Collins?
Yeah, they're definitely in there. I mean, it took a little bit of a bump there with Crutchfield leaving. Crutchfield was the lead recruiter, of course, dating back to his Oklahoma days, and with Damian running with the Team Griffin program that's based out of Oklahoma. I'd say Oklahoma and Texas are the two teams to beat. Texas was dream school growing up. But, you know, Musselman and his staff and Corey Williams, they haven't laid off the gas pedal there. Damian, rightfully so, Damian's a tremendous long-term prospect. He's 6'9", he's long, bouncy, athletic, can play different spots in the front court. They're gonna hang in there. I'm not sure I'm willing to bet on them, but, they're definitely investing the right time and attention with them.
Jalen Ricks, kid out of Sylvan Hills, now playing at the prestigious Oak Hill Academy. Arkansas's had titles with them, obviously being an in-state kid. What's the latest with Jalen Ricks?
Yeah, Jalen's a guy that is probably the next man up from the state in 2021. And just like what Musselman did, he showed last year, I'm going to keep the best guys in the state, which he did. I mean, he got Devontae Davis and K.K. Robinson, Jalen Williams and Moses Moody. And Jalen's the next guy up. I think he still has some room for growth to get better and be more consistent. But, he goes to Oak Hill Academy, was school teammates with K.K. Robinson last year. Mm-hmm. And definitely the pull is there. I think A&M is definitely heavily involved in the mix. But for as good as a chance that A&M has, I think Arkansas is right there as well.
Last recruiting question on a specific kid, Harrison Ingram out of Dallas St. Mark's. Yep. This is a guy that Arkansas fans would really love to see in a Razorback uniform. Pretty much got offers all over the country, Stanford, UNC, wherever. Where do you see him playing college basketball, Corey?
Yeah, right now most of the talk has surrounded Stanford and Purdue for him. Michigan's definitely made a late run. I would definitely monitor Duke. Duke has begun to show some greater interest in him. He has some Justice Winslow dimensions about him, especially being a Texas kid. But, Musselman definitely has made him a priority above all else, had him on campus already last year. So, again, not sure I'm willing to bet on Arkansas with that one, but I would say they're probably top five or top six for him.
Corey, can you give us some insight on these prep academies like Oak Hill, like Montverde, like IMG? You mentioned Jalen a moment ago, K.K. Robinson, Moses Moody went to Montverde. How does that work? How does it financially work for these kids when they move from one state to the other? Give us some insight on the process of a kid going to one of these prep academies like I just mentioned.
Yeah, man, it honestly is like college before college. And these kids are receiving pretty much full scholarships to attend that program and have room and board paid for, the gear, food, housing, all that stuff, and the coaching, of course, and just the platform. I mean, for as much as these kids have become accustomed to being around each other during the summer months, during the travel season, with the Nike EYBL, I mean, Adidas Gauntlet, and the Under Armour Association, same way now with high school basketball. Oak Hill, IMG Academy, Hillcrest Prep, Prolific Prep, Montverde, list goes on. It's about 20, 25 teams that are just traveling the nation week by week during the winter months and competing it out. And they're on the platform and they have, ESPN or CBS Sports or whoever it might be televising their game.
Yeah. Did you get to see the Montverde team this year with Moses Moody?
Yes.
And was that the best prep team you've ever witnessed, whether
best
it was summer
seen.
Ball? Tell us what you saw when you watched him play.
Yeah, it's the best I've seen. I mean, when we're talking about Moses Moody is maybe the fifth best player on that team, where anywhere else he'd be the number one guy, clear and definitively. It's impressive. I mean, we're talking about Cade Cunningham, who's the number one player in America and the potential number one prospect to be taken in a 2021 NBA draft. Scotty Barnes, who's a top five player in 2020 going to Florida State, he'll be a lottery pick. Deron Sharp is a top 10 prospect in 2020 going to Carolina. Caleb Houston's a top five prospect in 2022. We have Moses Moody, of course. Derek Whitehead, who's a top 15 prospect in the 2022 class. Ryan Nemhard, a top 75 player going to Creighton in 2021. That's a top seven, top eight that I hate to say it, but they probably could have beat some high major basketball programs last year.
Rivals basketball analyst Corey Evans here on the Morning Rush. And Corey, bring that up. We had a chance to talk to your colleague and your coworker, Kristen Peek, and she said that's the best high school basketball team she's ever seen. And it is not out of the realm of possibility to imagine that team, even though they're high school kids, potentially getting close to an NCAA tournament bid, which is insane to think about considering those guys are still in high school this past season.
Yeah, you honestly have, like I said, with Barnes and Sharp and Cade, three guys that don't even need college. They could have arguably been selected in this year's lottery of the 2020 NBA draft. And like I said, with the coaching of Kevin Boyle, and he's throwing Moses Moody and Caleb Houston, Tariq Whitehead, and Nembhard, top to bottom, you have talent, athleticism, size, length, shooting, athleticism, all that. And it was a tremendous ride, tremendously fun team to watch week by week. They were very rarely in any basketball games just because they were that good.
Corey, as a guy that covers college basketball, NBA, and a bunch of different high school level, when you think about Arkansas basketball and really just the past year or so that Eric Musselman has been here, in just 1 year, Corey, how would you characterize how Eric Musselman has gone about recruiting for the Arkansas basketball program?
Yeah, you know, and Moss has done a great job of kind of shifting his own recruiting philosophy, and that's, devoting more time to the high school realm. And appropriately so, he knew that he wasn't going to get those guys like a Moses Moody or a Jalen Williams out of high school. Yeah, he did get Jordan Brown, but for the most part, he had to go the transfer route. And the fact now that he is adding the top talent from the transfer realm, as in a Justin Smith, or a Tate, alongside a Moody, a Williams, a Robinson, you put two and two together, and I think it will mesh just because of, you know, we talked about Musselman's background with the D-League and overseas and in the NBA, where summer by summer, year by year, your roster is going to turn over. And that's what college basketball is becoming. It's more of a year-by-year basis compared to every other few years with recruiting cycles. And with the advent of the transfer realm and transfer portal, you know, next to Fred Hoiberg, Eric Musselman has become the mastermind of that.
Hey, Corey, not having the summer basketball, not having EYBL, having the extended dead period where coaches could not evaluate this summer, how difficult does it make the job evaluating 21s and also the 2022 class at this point?
You know, for me, I had a general feel for the 2021 class. Of course, you know, we're going to have about 10 or 20 guys that always kind of pop up out of the woodwork, and, you know, other guys that might be top 100 prospects and evolve into five-star blue blood prospects, more so 2022. But for the college guys, it's more so 21. I mean, they were devoting most of their time towards the college season when I was giving my time to the 2021 class. But I will say this for Arkansas, it might hurt them a little less because they had a general consensus of who the best was from their area. And more so going back to the transfer realm, I mean, for programs that rely more on the transfer realm and transfer portal, the high school level and not knowing who's good, that's not going to affect them as much.
What's the better deal for the top shelf players, the handful of five stars that are the upper crust of that, to go to the G League and get that money right away, or go to a high level college program like a Duke, like a Kentucky, like a Kansas that's on TV every night? What's the better long term deal? Getting the branding on TV every night in college basketball, or the $500,000 or so you'll get in the new G League setup?
I'm glad you brought that up, the branding and the platform of playing these games. And let's not swipe under the rug just how important that is. And, you know, I love Zion, but Zion isn't going into the NBA as the one-word name Zion to everyone if it wasn't for Duke. And, you know, $5,000, that's a lot of money to say no to. So I'm never going to poo-poo anyone for taking that money. But for how good Jalen Green is going to be, in my mind, who took the G League route, that $500,000 is going to pale in comparison to what he could be making and should be making in 5-6 years. So you have a guy like Cade Cunningham who decides to stick to the college route, the platform, and just having that college experience, the last maybe bit of your life that you can be a kid, I think the college and what that can offer outweighs the G League, in my mind at least.
Yeah. So, Corey, let me ask you something, because I think you and I differ. You're more on with Tommy on this camp, and you and I differ on the Zion stuff. Do you think Zion would be a top five, top three, number one overall pick, or not for Duke, or do you think he wouldn't have the same type of success if he just went to the G League, or if he was allowed to go straight to the NBA?
I think he may have been top five, but he would not have been consensus. You're stupid. You need to pick a number one if it wasn't for college basketball.
I think that's fair.
People didn't see Zion Williamson in high school and how overweight he was, and the questions about that still linger of his overall durability. Yeah. We're talking about the guy that we are legitimately comparing to LeBron James. And for the first time ever, there's actually someone who physically and tangibly can be on that level as a Zion Williamson compared to, is he a first overall draft pick? Is he top five, which he may have been if he would have been in the G League.
And you just can't replace the exposure of playing 30 games a year on national TV at Duke. I mean, a shoe blows out and the world stops because it happened to Zion at Duke. He became a household name across the country because he played at Duke.
You said he's not a household name yet.
So if he doesn't play at Duke, it's a whole different argument. I'm asking Corey, that's what turned him into the star he became, is Duke. If he goes the G League, he's a star there, but he's not a national presence.
In my mind, undoubtedly. And I was one of the biggest believers of Zion Williamson in high school, and I could not have seen him being what he was thanks to Duke. And we're even talking about Zion Williamson the prior August when they went on their Canadian national tour, off-season tour. And for guys like Jalen Green, they're out of the spotlight. They're not being discussed. I mean, we're talking about Cade Cunningham right now. We're not talking about Jalen Green. Even those two are on the same platform as talented prospects. The platform is there more for Cade Cunningham to gain compared to Jalen Green to gain.
Cade is elected to stay at Oklahoma State despite them having sanctions and not being able to play in postseason this year. Then Jalen is elected to play in that G League situation. On that note, is it one of those things that you think that's going to affect their NBA career, that you think Cade's going to have a better NBA career just because of his decision to go to school and college?
Honestly, I don't. You know, of course, a lot goes into where he's selected and what type of role and the maturity and all that. But again, it goes back to Zion. Even if he does not go to Duke and he doesn't receive that notoriety and that platform, he's still Zion Williamson. He's still, it's just fate. And I think either way, Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham, though they are taking different paths to get to the same point, I do believe that stardom is ahead for both.
Corey Evans, basketball analyst at Rivals. Corey, we appreciate you making some time for us on the Morning Rush, man.
No, most definitely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do is burgers, they have to be the best. All right, boys. But since we're talking about beef, like over at CJ's, what is your beef on this Wednesday? Jenkins, I'll let you start. You don't get to start these off.
I brought this up Monday. I think it was on halftime. People that pull out in front of me when nobody is behind me.
Yeah, pull out.
So, like, if I'm driving and there's nobody behind me for like miles and miles, but they pull out in front of me and then don't go the speed limit.
Oh, yeah, that is irritating.
Yeah.
Pisses me off, man. God, mighty. Oh, Lordy. So, grinds my gears.
Did you have one of those occur over the weekend?
It happens every weekend. They pull out in front of me, and then they go, if it's a 55, they go 45, and I start cursing in the truck.
I have to watch myself when I'm coming to work in the morning, because when I turn on the street that's not two blocks from where I turn into our driveway,
right,
I don't get up to speed very far because I'm going to turn pretty quick.
Yeah.
If I don't watch what I'm doing, you pull out in front of something, then you got to slow down to turn, and I've been honked at a time or two, so I have to be careful to make sure the coast is clear so I don't grind someone's gears like you're talking about.
I know Rod sort of agrees. People who don't use his turn signals, too.
Traffic's like, always a good bucket to go into on this.
Tommy, you always say this. It seems like that we have a traffic or something every single week. Like, every single
traffic's
week.
Easy. I mean...
Because there are idiot drivers out there that don't do it right.
That's fair. I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Indisputable.
So, what about yours, Tommy? What's your beef on this Wednesday?
Well, my beef is with you and Arns, because somehow you were throwing shade at him yesterday over his age, and then somehow I get drug into this yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is between you and him. I mean, leave me out of it. I mean, what did I do to deserve to be drugged through the mud because you called him... What'd you call him? An old kook. Which, yeah. I'm not. I hope that's not offensive.
I
hope that doesn't go back decades to some kind of.
Have you seen that? I was told from the Adams family.
I'm afraid to say anything. I don't know what it is anymore because somebody may. If I'm not offended, someone will be offended for me.
You said something a couple months ago that I looked at. I had to show you what it meant in Urban Dictionary, and then you were like, "Okay, I can't use that again." Because again, you're 44 years old,
right.
And so,
which is younger than you, Arns, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so
he said I'm older than him. Not true.
Some of the stuff that you say that was meant something in that time, you think still does, but apparently to my generation, it's completely something else. So, like you said, we have to be cautious as radio hosts in the words we use. The Adams family,
that's my biggest fear of this job, is I'm going to say something trying to mean one thing or sounding enlightened or cool, and it has a totally different connotation to the audience.
So, I guess then just run it by me or Jenkins before you actually say it. Just like whisper to us.
Can
I say this real quick? So,
Or does this hit different?
Yeah. So, slaps, hit different, all that jazz. So, but no, that's Arms. Yeah. I mean,
he hammered, said I had a receding hairline.
Wow.
At least my receding hairline isn't gray.
I mean, the fact that Arms is...
You have rather magnificent hair. I mean...
I thought... 44.
Arns also had the audacity to say that
you two's feud. I don't want to get caught up in the middle of it.
Listen, I told you know what's funny about Arns is I told him he was going to just spank me in Madden, and he still is bragging about that. So I literally on the radio in person.
I guess y'all played Madden,
and I lost. And I told him I
didn't know that happened because. Well, you never brought it up on the show.
Well, I'm not going to talk about something I lost at. Why would I do that?
I didn't even know it happened.
I didn't either. We needed this information.
Yeah. Listen, I don't bring up stuff bad that happens to me. But then he goes on this rant like, I can beat time, basketball, cornhole, blah, blah, blah. I was like, bro, you would tear something so fast on the court playing cornhole, whatever. Like, Phil and I have competed in stuff. We've done the Hardy Stick Burger. We've done cornhole. Mm-hmm. And he knows better than to trash talk me because he knows the result.
Yeah.
And so, but Phil doesn't do that anymore. And I told Phil, I was like, Phil, we got to compete in something you'd whoop me in, like baseball or something like that. But Arns just think he's God's gift to earth when it comes to anything athletically. Buddy, you're 50 years old.
Can you kick a 40-yard field goal?
Dude, that's what he challenged me at. I could. In high school, I could kick like a 35. But again, that was in high school.
That's last time I checked, 35 is short of 40. Yes. Last time I checked.
It is. You know, it's a miracle, Arns, that you didn't hurt yourself out there, buddy, because you're getting up there in age. Your limbs are starting to get a little fragile. I mean, I don't want you to end up.
You don't want to slip and fall and break a hip or something?
I don't want him to end up in the infirmary. I feel for the guy because he's trying to pull out and muster every little ounce of athleticism that he has left. So congrats, Arn. You kicked a 40-yarder. I listen.
Just leave me out of y'all's fights.
I don't know.
I don't want my receding hairline getting brought into this.
He brought to you inexplicably. And I think he was offended that I said I would rather do a show. I would love to do a show with Arns and Ruskin. Maybe we can do that one day. It'll just be a yelling match the entire time. But Ruskin, I felt more in canon with Ruskin. And Arn's just...
So you think he's butthurt then?
Yeah, he went ballistic yesterday. So don't feel bad, Arn's. I still like you too. Just would rather do a show with Ruskin. My beef today on this Wednesday, and Arn's is texting me right now, I said, we really doing this again? Facebook changed their format on the internet. And I hate when websites do this. When, like, the old one is fine and dandy. ESPN did this a while back. Facebook's doing it. Other websites. And it's, like, perfect. Like, everyone loves it. They change up everything. And it blows. You're just like, why are you doing this? Like,
no, it's not that bad.
It's bad. You've gotten on the website yet?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. No. It's the new format is awful. So I hate when, like, people are trying to be, like, young, hip, new, flashy.
Well, that ought to be right up your lane, you know, right up your alley.
I'm a half millennial, dude. You gotta remember that. Half millennial.
Half millennial.
Some stuff I fall in line with your generation and older. Some stuff I do with mine, like my hair and stuff. So, yeah. So Derek in Fayetteville texts and he says you got to defend yourself.
Pick and choose. He's a pick and choose millennial.
Yeah. But are you really a diehard KU fan like Zach said? No, Derek. Grew up an Arkansas fan. I went to one KU basketball game and had a good time. So we need to clear on that, the air on that as well.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.